Hey, welcome to our talk tonight on how to prepare your child for the sacraments, especially First Confession and First Communion. This is a very special year for your children. This year, most of them, I'm sure, are in second grade preparing now to receive their sacraments. They've already received the sacrament of baptism, most likely as an infant, where they became a child of God, an heir to the kingdom of heaven, a member of Christ and of His Catholic Church. And they receive that wonderful gift of sanctifying grace within their soul, the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity within their soul in their baptism. And in just a few months, they'll be receiving their sacrament of confession, their reconciliation, as well as First Holy Communion. I'd like to say, first of all, that all of you are wonderful parents. I've gotten to know many of you over the years, and I'm so impressed with just how wonderful you are with your kids and how you want the best for them in taking care of them, you know, physically, emotionally, and of course, spiritually. So you're doing a wonderful job in bringing your kids to church and to religious education and preparing them for this most special day of their First Holy Communion. Let me just start with a few little stories. I came across this one about kids. There was a little boy standing at a front door, jumping up and down over and over, trying to push the doorbell. The parish priest, on his daily walk, spotted the child and went over to him and said, "Can I help you with that?" "Sure," the kid says. So the priest pushes the doorbell. After a second, he asked the boy, "What do we do next?" And the boy replied, "Run." And the other little story I came across was when grandfather came to dinner at the house, and the little grandson said, "Grandpa, can you do your frog imitation for me?" And the grandfather says, "What do you mean, frog imitation?" And the little boy says, "Well, I heard Mom say, when you croak, we'll all be rich." So kids are wonderful, as you know. I love kids. I used to go to school with them. Now, what I wanted to do is give you seven ideas, and that is on how to prepare your children for the sacraments. To make it easier for me to remember and for you to remember, I want to incorporate these ideas into seven words, seven ideas. And to make it easy, I'm going to use the word prepare. So the P in the word prepare stands for the importance of prayer. Hope you'll take good notes, maybe pass this on to your spouse if they couldn't be here tonight. So the first one is prayer. So ask yourself the question, how is your prayer life? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10 being the best, how strong and healthy is your prayer life with the Lord? And then what can you do to improve your prayer life? Can you teach your children to pray? Do you pray with your children? They say that we never find time for prayer. We have to make time for prayer. Just like you make time for your favorite TV show or to play a sport, we have to make time for the things that are our priority. So we should ask ourselves, is prayer a priority in our life? Do we make time for prayer? Do we pray in the morning when we wake up and dedicate the day to God and say the morning offering? Let's try to do that. When you wake up in the morning, offer the whole day to God. Remember, Bishop Sheen once said, when people wake up in the morning, there's two kinds of people. The first kind says, "Good morning, God." The second person says, "Good God, morning." Okay? So he said, ask yourself, what kind of a person are you? Are you a good morning God person or the other person? So try to give your first thoughts to God. Dedicate your day to God. Try to have some morning prayer time with the Lord. And then try to say prayers with your children as well. Especially at night, around the dinner table, to say that grace before meals together. And especially if you go out to a restaurant, it's such a witness to pray the grace before meals, even at a restaurant. So it's a great example. Many people have come back to church just because they're reminded about prayer when they saw somebody make the sign of the cross over their meal. The great rosary priest of Ireland, Father Patrick Peyton, said, "The family that prays together stays together." So the best way to keep a family together is to pray together. In your home, try to have a special area in your home where you place the Sacred and Immaculate Heart of Mary pictures, the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary pictures, that we can gather in the dining room or the living room or the family room once in a while and say some family prayers together, to do the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in the home, to have the home blessed. These are wonderful things you can do. So teach your children their prayers. It's so important that you're a person of prayer, a man or woman of prayer, so that you can teach the faith to your children. I love the analogy when you're on the airplane and they say, if you need oxygen, the mask will drop first. It says, place it on your own. Take your own mask first and then help your children with their mask. The same idea with prayer. Develop your own prayer life and then you'll be able to help your children with theirs. The second idea on how to prepare your children for the sacraments is to read. To read and study your faith. Keep growing in your Catholic faith. To be able to answer their questions about God, about Jesus, about Mary, about the saints, about angels. So I encourage you to continue to deepen your faith through adult education classes, such as Bible studies. We have a wonderful Bible study. Actually, we have two now. We have once a month on Saturday nights, taught by Greg Witherow. And then we have one on Friday nights here at the church every Friday night. And we also bring in guest speakers. You can enrich your faith by coming to the guest speaker talks that we have here at Holy Trinity. And encourage you to even take the RCIA class. If somebody, the best thing a Catholic can do is to take RCIA. Pretend that you're not a Catholic and just sit through all the classes and brush up on your faith. This year we have about 75 people going through the classes. Many of them are Catholics. They just want to learn more about their faith. So read and study your faith. Take a look at the bulletin. Look at other opportunities to deepen your faith. The evenings of recollection for men and women that we have at the parish. The Legion of Mary. The monthly patricians, which is the adult education discussion group that we have. Read the Catechism of the Catholic Faith. And one of my favorite books is Catholicism for Dummies. It's a wonderful book. It's very humorous, but it's also very solid. And don't forget to take the pamphlets and the booklets that you'll find at all the exits at the church. The DVDs and the CDs from the parish library. So turn your car into a university on wheels. Make sure you take the CDs that you see in the back of church, listen to them, and then give them out to a friend. Give them to your spouse, give them to a neighbor to help them come closer to God as well. So continue to read about your faith and study your faith. Study the Bible and the Catechism. The next letter in prepare is E, and that stands for set an example for your children. Live your faith. And practice your faith. That's the best thing you can do for your children, is to live your faith. That'll make such an impression upon them. If they see you praying, they see you going to church, they see you respecting God's holy name, not using God's name in vain, not using language that would be inappropriate. When they see your honesty and they see your integrity, that's such a powerful thing. There's a saying that your example speaks so loudly, we cannot hear what you say. And that's the same with priests, parents, for all of us. It says we're converted by the school of example, primarily. We really want to see the people that have influenced the world. It was primarily by their example. Mother Teresa or John Paul or St. Francis or St. Therese. It was their example. So set the example for your children in how you live and how you speak and how you act. The next letter is P, and that stands for protect your child's faith. Protect their innocence, protect their heart, mind, and soul from the evil influences of modern society. So be very careful what they watch on television, what they see in the movies, what's allowed into the home through the internet. Make sure you have those blocks on the computer so bad websites cannot get through. And so make sure that you protect your child's innocence and protect their heart, mind, and soul. And just as you would not allow your children to eat unhealthy food or poison, for example, nor should we allow evil influences to poison their mind or their heart or their soul. So that's something that we have to be very careful about, to make sure that you protect and safeguard them against the evil poisons of our society. St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, we have a statue of her down the hall in the religious ed. She lived 200 years ago, and she had a prophetic vision that in the future of America, in every home would be a black box. And through this box, she saw all sorts of filth, evil snakes, poisonous serpents, other things come into every family through this black box. Of course, this was 150 years before television. What was it that she saw in this prophetic vision? Was it the television? Was it the computer? We don't know exactly. But your job is to make sure that what's seen in your home is good and healthy, you know, spiritually and emotionally for the kids. And Jesus was very strong about, in his teachings, about not leading the little ones astray. He said, to them belong the kingdom of God. Let the little children come unto me, Jesus said, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as them. And Jesus was very stern against the scribes and the Pharisees. He said, woe to you who lead the little ones astray. It'd be better for a millstone to be tied around your neck than to lead one of these little ones astray. So how powerful a saying that is from the Lord. Very sobering, very powerful. How important it is that we always protect our children's mind and heart and soul from the evils of modern society. The next letter in prepare is A. And that stands for be faithful about attending. Attend Mass. The A stands for attend Mass each week, either Saturday night or Sunday. And go to confession regularly. I would recommend that you go to confession at least 4 times a year. Summer, winter, spring, and fall. If every Catholic did that in the world would be converted. If every Catholic went at least 4 times a year to confession, summer, winter, spring, and fall. But if you really want to grow in holiness and in your relationship with the Lord, try to go to confession more frequently, maybe once a month. Try to bring the kids to confession once a month, especially when they're teenagers. They'll be much more obedient and much more respectful to you the more often that you can bring them to confession. So attend Mass faithfully each and every week. It's 168 hours in the week. God asks for the one. That 1 hour out of 168. I've often used the analogy, if I gave you $168, $168 bills as a gift, but then as I was leaving, I said, well, you know, I need one back because I have to, you know, make a few phone calls or catch a bus or whatever. Could I have $1 back? And what if you said, no, it's all mine. I'm not going to give you that one back. I said, well, I gave it all to you initially, $168. Well, that's how it is with the Lord. He gives us 168 hours a week. And he says, just give me that one back. And that's what we do. We give that God, it all belongs to God anyway. We're just giving God that 1 hour back for Sunday Mass. So again, make time for Mass. Don't try to find time for Mass, because with busy schedule of sports and travel, soccer and dance and all those things that people are involved in, it's hard to find time for things. So we have to make time. So if it's a priority, we'll make time for Mass. What a message that sends to your children, that the salvation of their soul is the most important thing. Getting them to heaven is the most important thing. And attending Mass, giving God that 1 hour a week, is a priority in the family. So attend Mass faithfully and go to confession on a regular basis. The last couple letters is the letter R, and that stands for the religious ed classes. Again, keep that as a priority. All of you are very good about that. That's why you're here tonight, because you have your kids going to religious education. Some of them are in Catholic school, which is wonderful. Some of them are in religious ed programs. So keep making that a priority. And don't forget to keep them in religious ed every year. Not just second grade and eighth grade, but third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh. And we like to use the analogy that, let's say if you had your child at a school and they were in second grade studying math, what if you took them out of math class for third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh and put them back in eighth grade? They'd be missing so much. And that's the same thing with religion. So they need religion every year. So keep up the good work of keeping them in religious ed each and every year. And then when they get to high school, get them in the high school youth program, which continues to catechize them, to give them also social fellowship with their peers, as well as spiritual events like holy hours and retreats and diocesan youth rallies and things like that. And then service projects, going to work camp and helping people that are poor and needy in our diocese and other parts of the country. So the high school program would incorporate the catechetical, social, service, and spiritual. So once they graduate from eighth grade and get confirmed, that should not be the end of their religious formation. It should continue all the way through 12th grade. So just make religious ed a priority each and every year. And lastly, the letter E stands for explain the faith to children. You are the primary educators of your children in the faith. The church teaches that. Vatican II teaches that the parents are the primary educators of their children. Our job as either a Catholic school or religious ed is merely to support you, to help you, to encourage you, and to provide, you know, classes and teachers and textbooks. But realize that you are the primary educators of your children in the faith. So explain the faith to your children. Unfold the beauty of the Catholic faith. For example, a few practical things. First, regarding first confession. Encourage them to look forward to their first confession. It's such a wonderful sacrament of God's love, God's mercy, and God's forgiveness. Encourage them to look forward to it, to help prepare them well by praying to the Holy Spirit, by making a good examination of conscience, by learning the act of contrition, and telling them how to go to confession by, obviously, what to say in confession, helping them through the Ten Commandments, helping them with the act of contrition, and then letting them know to do their penance soon after, immediately after they leave the confessional. So remind them that it was Jesus who instituted this sacrament. When he gave the apostles the power, it says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive are forgiven them. Whose sins you hold bound are held bound." So Christ, who is God, had the authority and the power to forgive sins. He gave it to the apostles, who in turn gave it to the early bishops and to the priests all the way down to today. That every Catholic priest, bishop, has that power to absolve sins in the name of Christ. It is really Jesus that they are confessing to, present in the ordained priest, who's been ordained by a bishop, who's been ordained by a previous bishop, all the way back to the apostles who were ordained by Christ himself. What a beautiful thing that is, to hear those words, "I absolve you from your sins," where Jesus speaks those words to us, to your child, through the priest. And lastly, what about First Holy Communion? How do you explain that to the children? Here's just a few things from Scripture. Number one, you could remind them about how God fed the people in the desert in the Old Testament with manna. how God fed his people with manna. And that maybe they saw the movie The Ten Commandments, or they saw the Prince of Egypt cartoon. They can recall this idea of being fed by manna. Well, God loves us even more because he not only feeds us with earthly bread, he feeds us with heavenly bread. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. So Jesus feeds us with himself in the Holy Eucharist. Then he can explain to the kids about the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, it contained some of the manna that they had saved. It contained the Ten Commandments and a piece of Aaron's rod that he used to help defeat Pharaoh. So the Ark of the Covenant, and you should explain to them that our tabernacle is a modern day Ark of the Covenant. And it contains Jesus, Holy Communion, the Holy Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. In fact, our tabernacle is modeled on the Ark of the Covenant with the adoring angels. And so that can help teach the children that we have our own Ark of the New Covenant in every Catholic church. Then he can teach the kids about the Paschal Lamb, the Passover Lamb, the unblemished male lamb that was sacrificed. And then its blood sprinkled on the doorpost, and the angel of death would pass over. And then the chosen people, the Jewish people, would consume the lamb in a holy meal. Well, John the Baptist said, there is the Lamb of God. So Jesus is our Passover lamb. He is the Lamb of God, the innocent one who died on the cross, redeemed the world, and saved us from our sins. And then we get to receive the Lamb in the holy meal of the Mass. The priest holds up the Eucharist and says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then you can tell the children about Melchizedek in the Old Testament. A very interesting and mysterious figure who is both a priest and a king. The only one in the Bible who is both a priest and a king. He was king of Salem, which later became Jerusalem. And in Psalm 110, you can read about Melchizedek, who offered a sacrifice of bread and wine. Normally, the sacrifices of the Old Testament were animal sacrifices, but he offered bread and wine, and that prefigures the Eucharist, where from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, as Malachi chapter 1, verse 7 says, a perfect sacrifice will be offered. And then regarding the New Testament, teach your children about the wedding feast of Cana, where Jesus changed water into wine. Remind them about the stories of the multiplication of the loaves and fish, where Jesus showed power over bread. Remind them about the fact that Jesus could walk on water and he rose from the dead, showing he had power over his body. So at Cana, he showed he had power over wine, the miracle of the loaves, power over bread, walking on the water and rising from the dead, power over his body. At the Last Supper, he rolled all these miracles into one. And he said, this is my body, this is the cup of my blood. Jesus is God, he can neither deceive nor be deceived. And so when he spoke, the words took effect. Just as when Jesus said to Lazarus, arise, Lazarus rose from the dead. Or he said to a crippled person, arise, and they were immediately healed. So when Jesus speaks, his words take effect. So when he took the bread and said, this is my body, it truly became his body, blood, soul, and divinity. When he took the chalice and said, this is the cup of my blood, it became what he said. So explain to the children the beauty of the Holy Eucharist. They may not understand the word transubstantiation, but you should explain to them what it means. They might not be able to spell it or pronounce it, but I think they can understand the concept that there is a change of substance, even though the appearances remain the same. After the priest says those words, this is my body, this is my blood, the bread and wine cease to exist. And Jesus is present in his glorified, resurrected body under the appearances of bread and wine. But the appearances remain the same. It still looks like bread, looks like wine, tastes like bread, tastes like wine. But there's no longer any bread or wine there. It is Jesus, but under the appearances of bread and wine. So there's a transubstantiation. And I love that true story of the second grader that was about to make his first communion. And he said to the priest, "I don't believe in the Eucharist because I don't see any change. And my dad's a scientist. I'm going to become a scientist when I grow up." And he said, "We only believe in things we can see. And since I don't see that Jesus is there, I don't believe he's there." And the priest, who was very wise, said, "Well, what if we took some bread and wine down to your dad's laboratory and exposed it to radiation and dosed that bread and wine with radiation? Would you then eat that bread and drink that wine?" And the kid said, "No way. It would be radioactive material under the appearances of bread and wine." And the priest said, "Well, if we can do that in our laboratories, why can't God do that on the altar?" That when we say those words, even though the appearances remain the same, it's now a different substance. It is Jesus under the appearances of bread and wine. So that little boy went on to make his first Holy Communion. And later in life, after he learned how to drive, he went to daily Mass. Because he told the priest, "Now that I believe it's Jesus, how could I miss even one day of receiving him?" It's a true story. So just to conclude, I would encourage you to prepare yourself and your child for their first Holy Communion through these different ideas. To spend more time in prayer, to teach your children how to pray, to read and study your faith, read books, but listen to CDs, watch the great Catholic videos that we have. By the way, the bookstore is open tonight, I believe. The gift shop is open. Stop in and pick up some CDs or some books to deepen your faith. Be an example to your children. Protect their innocence. Attend Mass and confession faithfully. Keep them in the religious day classes. And then explain the beauty of confession and the beauty of the Eucharist to them, using these scriptural passages to unfold the beauty of the Old Testament and New Testament, and how it's really one of the greatest gifts. It is the greatest gift that God ever gave us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that those who believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. Mother Teresa said, "If you want to see how much Jesus loved you 2,000 years ago, look at the crucifix. If you want to see how much Jesus loves you now, look at the tabernacle." Thanks so much for coming tonight. We'll say a closing prayer, and I'll give you a blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, God bless. Thanks so much for coming out tonight. Take care.